welcome once again to Being Mindful, our weekly broadcast on PHBC Radio, where we discuss issues pertaining to our quality of life as Christians. It is always wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to have you on the show. And today I'm in the studio with the usual hosts, the usual suspects. I'm here with Neoma.
Yeah.
And
Lillian.
And Lillian. And I am Pastor Deji. And Lillian's happy again. The joy of the Lord.
Amen.
Is what this woman is not. She's absolutely recharged. Always joyful, always joyful. Hey, listen, if it's your first time on the show, it's great to have you with us. We would love for you to join the conversation. We got a great topic today, actually. Well, we have a great topic every week, but we got a great topic today. We'd love for you to join the conversation. So please get in touch with us as the show continues, as the discussion continues. Get in touch with us, and you can do so using the PHBC app. The PHBC radio app, and in there you will find the button that you can click, and it simply says contact the studio, and you can send a message to us directly from there. Alternative to that, you can also reach us via social media handles using if you search for us on social media, whether that be Facebook, Insta, Twitter, using the tag at PHBC London, and any messages you send will come directly to us here in the studio. So again, welcome to the show, and let's get this on. So I'm going to start with who do I start with? Eeny, meeny, miny, Neoma. Neoma. Yeah. Who? No, not who. What's on your mind?
Who's on my mind?
What's on your mind? But if you say who, so who is?
We're sticking with what? Okay. So what's on my mind? So I have. Deadlines. So school, I'm a student in school. I have some assignments due, one on the 18th, one on the 25th.
Sorry, you're a student. Now, I know what you do. Okay, I know what you do. Lillian.
I kind of know what she does.
Exactly, kind of. Okay. But not everybody listening right now will know what you do. School, I mean, you know, what are you, catering school?
No.
Nursing school?
No. Okay, clarification. All right, so I am doing... I'm in school, I'm studying multimedia journalism, and so I have assignments due, like two big ones during this break. So there's a lot of sleepless nights for me. Last night, I didn't go to bed until it's not that late. I think I didn't go to bed until maybe around midnight-ish.
Oh my goodness.
That's not late.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was like, I stayed up earlier.
That late for you?
That's late for me.
You're a young fogey, are you?
Listen. 9 o'clock, I'd like to be in bed. And
what?
Yes.
No.
I do. I love my sleep. I do.
You have a sleep ministry.
I do, yeah. But I'm an early morning person.
When you say early. So you go to bed at 9, you wake up at 2.
No. I'm up most days, except the weekends, I'm up around 5. 5 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, that's early.
Yeah. That's not, well, if you go to bed at 9...
Okay, and 5. Okay, that's roughly right amount.
I proceed to bed at 9. Doesn't mean that I necessarily fall asleep at 9.
Oh, I see.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Back to you, Neoma.
Yes. So, that's basically what's been on my mind. Just trying to get everything, ready. So, I know, 18th and 25th are really far away, but I'm still, I'm currently, just piecing things together. So, the closer I get, I'm not, in this... mad rush. That's what's on my mind.
What kind of assignments are there?
Okay, so the first one is a group assignment, which is a TV documentary. We're supposed to film that. We're doing something on theater. So that's been quite interesting to do. And then the second one is more like a reflective essay on the course overall, because the course is coming to an end. Actually, it came to an end last week, Monday. So basically, they want us to write an essay on how helpful the course has been in terms of for us as journalists and things like that. So, yeah. that's it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And you? What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is getting rid of this cold that I somehow inherited from wherever it came from. It has to go back.
Return to sender,
exactly. Yeah. Go back by 5x4s.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's a whole show topic.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't usually get colds. I'm not a type of person who get colds, and so when I do, it really hits me.
Mm.
So I've been coughing at night, which makes me tired in the day, but I think I'm over the worst of it now. So if you hear me coughing, please excuse me, but I'm human, and but I'm healed at the same time.
Amen.
By the stripes of Jesus, that. I am healed.
Amen. Oh. Amen.
So that's what's on my mind. But what's on my mind really is joining you two in today's Be Mindful show. So I'm really looking forward to what we're going to be discussing.
Yes.
But before we get to that, Pastor Deji, what is on your mind?
I as you know, obviously, I have a degree in theology, and I did my theology at Spurgeon's College. And I remember my very first year at Spurgeon's, and they was like, oh, you know, I can't remember, somebody had asked a question, and they said, and it became a running thing right through when they said, let's be very clear. Jesus is the answer, so the answer is always Jesus. Who is on my mind? Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. What's on my mind? We have just come through the greatest weekend in the history of humanity.
Yes.
Celebrating the greatest day in the history of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
The day that we celebrate, the day when Jesus was raised from the dead, Resurrection Sunday.
Yes.
And at Pollard's Hill Baptist Church, we saw a whole heap of people baptized on Resurrection Sunday. And for me, what's on my mind is, I remember during the baptism classes actually saying to them, I feel a little bit jealous. You know, Resurrection Day, Resurrection Sunday as your baptism day.
Very symbolic.
Yeah.
You know, somebody said to me, oh, you know, what are you going to preach? Did I need to preach? What's there to preach? Look at that. That's the sermon right there in those lives, you know? And so what's on my mind is these people, you know, 8 people, 30 and under, 8 young people, you know, who are saying, it's time for my reset. It's time for me to start again. It's time for me to just publicly declare and witness Christ. Dead to sin, alive in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, my what's on my mind is that they will have that their steps will be truly ordered of God.
Yeah.
But also that the right people will be around them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't know what it was for you, but as a young Christian starting out my Christian journey, I didn't always have the right people around me to help me, guide me, counsel me, you know, just the right people around them so that when they trip up, they'll be able to pick up. When they mess up, they'll be able to clean up.
Yeah,
do you know? Good. And it's about having the right people around you, you know?
Yeah.
That's really important. Because I remember when I became, well, first when I became born again, having a set of people around me, which was great. So there was always someone to contact if you're having problems or doubts, etc. And then, like you say, with the baptism as well, you know, it's like that declaration publicly and personally that I'm all for Christ, you know. And I just think it's fantastic, baptism. It just it just brings up memories of when I was baptized and just that submersion into the water, because you're cleansing yourself of the old self and renewing yourself in Christ as you come up through the water. It's just phenomenal. It's oh my goodness, fantastic.
Public declaration of what you believe, isn't it? New life in Christ. I was just gonna ask, I know we talked about this before, but just in case, like, that anyone who is like listening and needs to know, Lillian has touched on it, but like why we need to do that, as you know, because especially do it a second time, like people who have. So I did my baptism like when I was like 12, 13. So why do I need to do that like a second time, for example? Why is that important?
Okay, re-baptism.
Yeah.
I think number one, let me talk about baptism. Baptism has existed for a very, very long time. We read the story of Jesus's baptism where we first saw the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I think that's one of the first places, not the only, where we saw the evidence of the Holy Spirit and where God spoke and truly affirmed Jesus as his son, and said, "This is my beloved son, you know, that I'm pleased with." And we saw the Holy Spirit alight on Jesus and the presence of the Holy Spirit like a dove. That gentle alighting of the Spirit upon Jesus. So John had been baptizing beforehand, which is one of the reasons Jesus chose him to be the one to baptize him. John happened also to be his cousin, you know. But Jesus knew him and could trust him, trusted his spirituality, his theology. And said, "Hey, dude, you baptize me." You know. So baptism isn't just about, you know, this is just another ritual. You get wet, you get dry. It's not. And there are different forms of baptism. And we're not going to go into that today.
For another show.
Come to the baptism class. Where we talk about the forms of baptism. Yeah. You know, baptism, water baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism, even the different forms of water baptism. Yeah. They're different forms. Yeah. Baptism isn't simply about getting wet and getting dry. There are other elements, there are other things that are going on there. And I think, unfortunately, sadly, too many people just simply get wet, get dry. They just go back to the old life. You know, it is symbolic, but it's about a public declaration that says, "I'm resetting, I'm restarting, I'm refreshing, I'm renewed from this point." You know, because what Christ, when we come into Christ, it says, scripture says that all things have passed away. Anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature, not a refreshed. Jesus doesn't just repaint us, he rebuilds us from the foundation, from the ground up. And so baptism is a symbol, it's a sacred symbol of that happening. Now, some people, like you were alluding to and you were speaking about, some people want a rebaptism, particularly if you've been baptized as a child and you think, you know what, back then, yes, I chose it, but I didn't really know what I was doing. I didn't really, I didn't really get it. You know, yes, I did it. But I actually want, so it's because there are baptism vows that you take, you know, in the same way that marriage vows can be renewed, in the same way that we can recommit ourselves to the Lord. We can, you know, in the same way, I do subscribe to and agree with the idea of rebaptism. So those are the reasons why people get baptized, and that's the reason why some people will come forward for a rebaptism. I'm really, really excited about these folks. There's eight of them, you know. Absolutely, just really excited about them and their journey, and just being able to at least be a part of it from here. And I think that's a great honor. One of the honors of ministry is baptizing people. It's one of those real joy, you know, baby dedications, baptisms, weddings, even funerals. Another show.
Yeah, but now we need to get into what this show is about. So yes. What are we talking about today?
Well, today's topic is about walking with the word of God in everyday life.
So does that mean carrying your Bible in your pocket? I think sometimes as Christians, and sorry, I jumped in, you know, maybe you were going to say it wasn't that.
That's good.
Maybe that was your very next sentence. But often we, you know, as Christians, we have these phrases, we have these boom, boom, boom. We just say it. And we assume, A, that everybody's a Christian. B, that even the Christians understand it.
True.
And sometimes people listening to us ain't got a Scooby what we're talking about. So walking with the word.
I mean, we might even have to take it one step back and say, what is the word? You know?
Exactly.
So when I talk about the word, I'm talking about the word of God in terms of the written word of God, the Bible.
Yes.
And when I was meditating on this, the word became flesh. So that was Jesus. So for today's topic, we're talking about the mixture of the written word and the word who is the flesh, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Do you want to know how this came about?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. Of course we want to know. Lillian, I mean, thank you, Nilma, for just jumping. Yeah. I mean, I'm not quite as enthusiastic as you. Perhaps I should have been. So the answer is yes. We absolutely want to know how it came about. But just before we do that, can I suggest let's cut to some music. Okay. So those of you who are listening, you're listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here today. It's really great. Listen, don't just be bystanders. Don't just be listeners. Be participators. Mm-hmm. Don't just be. What's the other one? Don't just be takers. But also, I don't know.
I'm afraid to contribute. So you don't say I'm too Nigerian now.
You're a standby.
Something's gonna jam something. Please feel free to contribute to the conversation.
Yes.
Walking with the word, walking in the word, walking by the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What does this stuff mean to you? We're gonna listen to a piece of music now by the award-winning, multi-talented CC Winans. But please join in the conversation. You can reach us via the usual mediums, and we'll catch up with you after we hear this song, All in Your Name, by CC Winans. It's all in your name. If I need peace, it's in your name, Lord.
That's
Ooh.
It.
And you know, that for me, that song is by C.C. Winans. It's from Throne Room.
Ah, that's a really good album.
That isn't.
Or CD, or how do they say it?
Yeah, no, don't say CD. I mean, CD, why would you say that? Gosh, you're showing your age.
There are people.
Spotify.
Those of us who still have CDs, you know.
CDs, don't admit that in public. I mean, who has a CD this day? It's on Spotify.
Okay, listeners,
Apple Music.
Tell us, do you have CDs and do you still play CDs? I want to know. Mm-hmm. There we go.
You're asking the listeners to send in. Does anybody?
Yes. Still. Like, you have it somewhere.
Do you still
have
CDs?
Not that you listen to it, but you have it somewhere.
Well, Lillian did say, and do you still play CDs?
Yes, I play my CDs.
You have a CD player, yes, and it works.
I have a DAB radio and CD player.
Wow.
Okay, yes. That's interesting.
That's impressive. I do not own a CD player.
Me too, really? Not anymore.
I mean, that said, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I still own
a cassette.
Over, what did you did a big circle.
Yeah, is it?
As in the 8-track.
Vinyl. Something vinyl.
No, hold on. Now, I was about to say I still own about 4,500 CDs.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Where?
I still own about 4,500 CDs, number one. And then let's go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. I still have some vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whether that's your 12-inch or your 8-inch. And then let's go back a little bit. I actually do have 8-track recordings. So when I did my music technology course in the 90s, we did all our assignments, all our projects onto real, you know, reel to reel 8-track recordings, and the big reels, and I still have them just as a record of what was done.
I mean,
have any cassettes?
Oh, yes, of course. I've got cassettes.
Yeah, definitely.
If you want me to bring you a cassette, I mean, you own a CD player, so maybe you've got a cassette player.
A Walkman or something.
No. Those ones are gone. Those ones are gone.
Oh, no, Noma, that's so bad. Lillian owns a Walkman.
I don't own a Walkman.
So I don't know if any of you listeners owns a Walkman, and if you're willing to admit it, let us know.
Yeah, I used to think that was cool. Like when I see my elder sister and my elder brother back in the day with their Walkman, she'd be like, "Oh gosh, this is so cool! I can't wait to have one."
Exactly. Yeah.
We did. I think we all.
It's the latest.
Then we went from Walkman to Discman.
Yes.
And that was just like
a game changer.
But then you had Discman. You know, you play the CD, and then because you're moving, or you play it in the
car, it would skip.
Exactly. And then they brought out ones that didn't skip, and then
mini discs.
Look at us now, technology.
Now we don't even. And then the iPods.
Yeah.
Now, who cares about iPods?
Oh my goodness, who still has an iPod? I never had one.
No, I had one, but who cares now?
Maybe you should lend it to Lillian for the experience.
Oh,
goodness. What are we talking about? We're talking, we're talking about walking with
the word.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? That was we planned that, really. In fact, we didn't know we planned it.
No.
To just segue into.
See, the Holy Spirit is in control, you know.
Yes. So you were talking about walking with the word, and what's brought this stuff to your mind, yes. Lillian?
So what's brought this topic to mind was I watched a video, and it's going around on WhatsApp, TikTok as well, about a young man who went around in Walmart, I believe, a supermarket in America, and he offers different shoppers $10, like a $10 voucher, and in return for the $10 voucher, they have to quote a scripture.
Mm.
Now, he comes across maybe about 10 people, and all of them, most of them are either trying to quote a scripture or they don't know a scripture at all. They don't want to know. But there's one person who comes up with the scripture. So as I was meditating on John 3:16, and then meditating on just the video, all that happened, and I have a strange sense of humor, so I just found this video is quite humorous. But the thing is that came to me was, how many of those people were Christians? And if they were, that they didn't know a scripture to quote. Mm-hmm. So I thought this would be an interesting topic to bring to the Be Mindful radio show for us to discuss. And also walking with the word, what is the word? As I mentioned earlier, the word is, we've got the written word, which is, as we know, our Bibles. Mm. But also in the first chapter of John, it talks about the word became flesh. And we know the word is Jesus Christ who became flesh. Mm. So if we're not walking with the word, if we're not walking with Jesus, we as Christians, we're pretty much living a defeated life. So I just want to put that out there to you, the listeners, and to Deje and to Neoma.
Did you just no, she didn't forget your name. She was trying to catch her breath. No, don't. I saw your face. You were like, I am taking you down, girl.
Why would you forget my name?
I didn't forget your name. I didn't. It was a mixture of me catching my breath and making sure that I wasn't gonna cough. This gone in Jesus' name. So Neoma, so I'm bringing the topic to us to discuss, you know, and hopefully we'll be able to play the video.
Can we do that?
Yeah,
let's do that. All right. Do you know what? Let's just do that. I think it's a really interesting one. Mm. And certainly, as you listen to this clip, you'll hear. Anyway, I don't want to preempt it. Just listen and let's take it from there.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card for you if you could tell me one Bible verse.
John 3:16. Thou Father giveth his Son for us. Close.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you could share with me one Bible verse.
No.
Would you like a Bible verse?
No.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card I wanted to give to y'all if you could tell me one Bible verse.
No. Thank you. No, not interested.
Not interested? Okay. No. Would you like a Bible verse?
Nope. No, thank you.
Okay. Take care. I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you could share with me one Bible verse.
Share with you a Bible verse. Oh.
You don't know what, you don't remember one?
I got one. The Lord is my shepherd.
See, I don't know it by heart. I used to have to say it all the time.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you could tell me one Bible verse.
No, thanks.
No?
I don't know a Bible verse.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you could share with me one Bible verse.
Don't have any.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card for you if you could tell me one Bible verse. I saw the cross hanging from your ear. I was like,
I know this too. I know it's from John.
John?
Yeah, man, I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to give you a Bible verse today just so you have one on you. I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you can share with me one Bible verse.
Yeah, I guess I'm not.
You're not getting me?
I guess I'm not.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card for you if you could tell me one Bible verse.
Thank you.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you can share with me one Bible verse.
Okay. Let's see, Psalms 52.
Okay.
The Lord places me in a field, in a river, mm-hmm. surrounded by trees, in a green field.
Are you sure that's the word?
Well, that's not the word, but I got close.
I got $10 to Chick-fil-A if you could tell me one Bible verse.
I'm sorry, I don't know any.
You don't know any?
I'm sorry.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you could share with me one Bible verse.
I don't know a Bible verse.
Okay. I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card for you if you could tell me one Bible verse.
Oh, good Lord. No, thanks.
No? How about a free sandwich to Chick-fil-A?
No, thanks.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card if you can share with me one Bible verse.
I don't know any off the top.
I got a $10 Chick-fil-A card for you if you could tell me one Bible verse.
Oh, John 3:16.
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting.
God bless you, brother. Wow. Take care.
Well done.
Hallelujah. Woohoo.
I felt interesting. one of them said, I used to, the one who was talking about the Lord is my shepherd, and I was like, I used to have to say this all the time. And I actually just thought to myself, then what happened? You know, that was really, you know, sad.
It's like Jesus was talking about the sower and the seed. What happened was the birds of the air came and pecked it out.
Yes.
They took it out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing? I mean, I particularly found humorous the chap that was quoting Psalm 52 and Jesus.
He said, presses.
Surrounded by trees.
Do you know,
they bless
it. I actually thought he said, Jesus blesses, the first time I heard it. He said, Jesus presses me in a field.
How? What?
I'm surrounded by trees.
He says he's close. Like, close to what?
And that was Psalms 52. He was trying to quote nowhere.
That was wrong.
So, walking with the Word. So, as I've said, the Word is Jesus. Jesus became, the Word became flesh. And what does it mean? What does it mean for us to walk with the Word? I'm going to start with you, Neoma. What does it mean?
Okay, so for me, just like we talked before we came live, for me it's all about intention. It's all about being intentional about the Word and giving the Word that space and that time in your day to day. You know, the older I have gotten in age and in faith.
You're still young. You're not old.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness.
But anyway, okay. So the longer I've been in this journey of faith, you know, I have come to see that it's not, you know, funny enough, I actually was having a conversation with someone and I was talking about altar calls. And I was saying how I have come to see, like, maybe that's another conversation, but I was just saying how I feel like altar calls don't always give the full picture of what it means to be like a disciple and follower of Jesus. Sometimes you hear altar calls that say, you know, come to Jesus and everything is going to be all right.
That's what happened to me.
You know, and then
trick me.
You know, and then people get into this walk with Jesus and then you see scriptures like denying yourself and taking up your cross. And it's like, it's a completely like, what is this? So for me, coming into that space of, you know, putting God before what is comfortable for me or what I want and seeking him, like the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and things like that. And so there have been moments where I have felt disappointed. There have been moments where I have felt confused. You know, you feel like, okay, but God, I did everything according to how you said I was to play this, and yet, you know, where are you in this? Like Pastor Deji preached on Sunday about almost looking at it as transactional, like, okay, I did my part, so where's yours? Like, I've met you halfway, now meet me halfway. So for me, walking with the Word is obviously understanding that that is the wrong way to think, first of all. And then even in spite of those feelings that would come, just being intentional about spending time with the Word and spending time in prayer and making time, you know, to come to church and things like that. I used to be the person who, if I was going through something, I would just like, maybe not, I don't feel like praying, you know, like in those moments where I feel like, oh God, I don't like what you're doing right now. And so I'm just like, I'm not praying. I'm not reading my Bible. You know, do you, I do me, you know, and you know, but the older I have gotten in this journey, you know, that's not what it's about. Even if all you can say is, you know, Lord have mercy and Lord help me trust you. Even if you know, whatever, just being intentional. So for me, that's it. Just I am learning that is what works for me, being intentional. Yeah.
I think that's really important. And the point that you make about our understanding, oh goodness me, I was just trying to remember. Yes, there's a song, and I think I have mentioned this. This song actually first came to me while I was doing my degree, I think it was the third year, first year of the degree. Everybody's there. You know, we're asking the questions. You know, the hands are up in the air. Oh, how about this? And does that mean that? And da da da. By the second year, the hands aren't quite going up in the air. But now, you know, the tutor is asking the questions, the lecturer is asking the questions, and we're saying, okay, I'll hazard an answer. Mm-hmm. You know, by the third year, complete silence. Nobody wants to speak. The lecturer will ask a question. Nobody has a comment. We're in total silence because, you know, there's something in your mind that says, every question, you think that's a trick question. If the lecturer isn't tricking us, Jesus is tricking us. You know, because the truth of it is that it's that song that comes to mind, an old song, non-Christian song, so forgive us. It says, there are more questions than answers, and the more I find out, the less I know. Mm. It's the truth that real knowledge is a revelation of ignorance.
Yeah. Mm.
And the deeper you get into God, the more you realize how shallow you are in God.
Mm. Absolutely. Mm.
That's deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what about you? How do you, Lillian? Yeah.
So for me, walking with the Word. Oh, I mean, when I became born again, well, let's say before I became born again, when we were younger, you know, our parents used to take us to church and you're sitting there in church. It was in those days, there was no such thing as children's church.
Mm.
So whatever you hear from the pulpit, you're supposed to understand as a child, you know. And whenever they say open the Bible to, I mean, we just open the Bible. All you see is words. And in those days, it's not even New King James, not even Message, not even, you know, Amplified.
Mm.
King James, you know, King James, the D and the Dow and the whatever else in it.
And therefore, wherefore.
Oh, my goodness. It was just horrible. And and having no understanding of it. And there was no one even to ask, well, what does this mean?
Mm.
You know, because all my mum would say to us is, just read your Bible. Read your Bible when you go to bed. Read your Bible when you wake up in the morning. And, you know, being 6 and 7, you open the Bible, you're just like, what? Don't even understand. Don't even know where to start.
Mm.
And there was no such things as children's Bible back then. So that was really challenging. But then when I became born again, and I started my journey with God, and again, it was still the King James Bible still, but thankfully time came on, you know, they started to introduce us to different versions. But the way that I really started to understand scripture was from reading Christian books.
Mm.
So any book that would pertain to my situation, I would read that book, and in that book would have the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would back it up with the understanding of the scripture. So that helped me with the Word.
Mm-hmm.
But also through listening to teachers. And one of my favorite all-time teachers is Joyce Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her listening to one of her preaching. And she was saying how she really struggled as a minister as she came into her role as a minister. Because one of the things that she didn't do was rattle off scripture in her sermons, you know, and she would have to find the scripture where it was written, and, you know, and in those days, again, she was, you know, King James, and she didn't understand it at all.
Yeah.
But she would look at people like Billy Graham's, the, you know, Morris Sorello, and, you know, Kenneth Hagin, all these people who would just walk up and down the aisles in their preaching, just rattling off scripture and verse and everything, and she'd be like, but God, why am I not like them? And she said she would really try her hardest, but she would, no matter how much she studied the Bible, it would never stay in her mind. Mm. So she thought, well, then God, you've not called me to be a preacher. You've not called me to be a minister.
Mm.
And then one time in her quiet time, she said, God spoke to her and said, but I've not created you to be like them, you know. And the way that God wanted her to learn and to read of scripture was by reference.
Mm.
And that helped us. It was almost like she brought a human side to scripture to say that you don't need to have, you know, you don't need to know it verbatim, but as long as you've got the Word and you can turn to it, reference it and say, okay, this is the Word, and quote it from the Word, that's still walking with the word, that's still walking with Jesus. Yes. So when I heard that, that kind of like, that released the pressure from me, you know, because I was like, I mean, I'm pretty good at, if I have to learn something, I will learn it.
Yeah.
But that just released the pressure for me.
Yeah, and one of the things we tend to fall, well, I tend to fall into, like, you just use this example, is the comparison thing.
Yes.
Where you always feel, especially like in faith circles, you know, where you always feel like this one prays better than me, and this one, you know, is more like what Moses said to God, isn't it? Like, I don't know how to talk. You know, get someone else who can talk. Yes. You know, so you keep pushing other people and almost feeling like, so there's no need for you to try because I can never be like, you know, this person. So yeah.
I think it's natural to compare. It's natural and it's human, because how do we assess something as good or bad, right or wrong, without comparison?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, and I think what you just alluded to is, there's a trap.
Yeah.
There's a pit at the end of that. And sometimes we don't realize when we've slid down the slope and fallen into that trap, where we're now getting to the place of self-deprecation. We're putting ourselves down, you know, and to lift somebody else up, as it were. Let's play another. Let's cut to another piece of music now. And you know, we like to mix up the music on this show. If you're listening, and those of you who are listening right now, I want to say thank you. You're here listening to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. We do want you to join in the conversation.
Yes, please.
You know, use the PHBC Radio app. But click on the button that says contact the studio. We'd love to hear your opinion, your perspective. How are you walking with God, walking with the word, specifically the presence of Jesus and the written words of Jesus? You know, how did you get to that place? You know, what are your thoughts on this? What are your comments on this? Do please chime in. You know, we'll seek to address those. We're just going to cut to some music now, a little bit of worship, a little bit upbeat Afro gospel. This is Steady with Wait For It.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Turn up.
Does he love me? Does he love me not? Moving all so fast, I wound up using up on my cash. Find out it doesn't work like that. Live fast, die young, ain't how I'ma go. Took me a long time to get it right. Never quite satisfied if I ain't got you. All I have is all that I need. I don't need no one else. As long as I have all your help, I got everybody that I need. I'm on top with eagle's wings. No longer down, I'm flying. You never let it ride on time. Me set a pace for it. I was so young and so wasteful. Couldn't tell me I had a whip on it. Oh no, no, now wait for it. Nobody rush me, set a pace for it. Oh no, oh na 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 na. Me better wait for it. Oh no.
Try many times, but he no walker. Boys for my hoots in a soft walker. I trust in myself and I pump also. See, as I fall flat, I did pray for your grace now to hold me. And the pace I did move now, you showed me. Bad man come, but no feet to hold me. Yeah, then no feet to hold me. Every time, not 9 out of 10, I mean every time. I gotta trust your ways, I won't fall in line. Lord, it's all your will and it's never mine. Don't let nobody detect what the pace of your life should be. And if they ask you to hurry, you tell them this how it should be.
No, better wait for it. Nobody rush, she set a pace for me. I was so young and so wasteful. Couldn't tell me I had to wait for it. Oh no, no, now wait for it. Nobody rush, she set a pace for me. Oh no, oh no, no, no. Set the pace for me. Oh, na, 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 na.
Yes, wait for it. We serve a God that's a promise keeper. He has given us his word. He has given us his promise. He is the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, and he keeps his word. And whatever he said to you, wait for it.
Yeah.
Those that wait on the Lord get their strength renewed. And we're talking about walking with the word on today's Being Mindful show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us on the show. We do want to hear from you. Keep those comments coming. Keep those contributions coming.
Yes,
you know, not just whether or not you've still got cassettes and walk around with a Walkman, you know, but your perspective and how was your journey in getting to walk with God and getting to, God, getting to walk with God, you know, walking with the word and the presence of Jesus. Mm. Where were we just before we went to the break?
So we're talking about, well, we shared different experiences, didn't we, of how we walk with the word or how we started to walk with the word and understanding that the word is Jesus, the word is of God. You know, if we haven't got the word, then what are we doing as Christians? You know, if we're going around, I mean, it's not to say like what you said at the beginning, Pastor Digi, you know, does walking with the word mean that we have to walk with our heavy Bibles in our bag? Because that's what I used to think, you know, in the early years of my Christian walk, you know, I had to take my Bible with me everywhere. And, you know, and you could take your Bible with you everywhere, but not know the word, not know what it's saying. It's just like in the video when the guy with the vouchers said, he approached the guy who said, oh, I saw a cross hanging from your ear. So maybe he thought, oh, well, you know,
you
must he's know.
A Christian,
there's
isn't
a, there's
it?
A faith element here.
Exactly. Surely he must know the word. He must know the word.
But it was just jewelry.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is what some of our Christians, us Christians do. We bring the word, okay, we carry the written word.
Yes.
We carry the written word with us, whether we're going out or even coming to church. Well, we haven't a clue what's in it.
Because just as for him, those crosses were just jewelry.
Mm.
Too often for many people, the Bible is just a book.
Yeah.
It's not life, as it were, or at least we haven't entered it. It may be life in and of itself, but we haven't entered into the life that it brings. We haven't begun to carry that life with us, in us. You know, it's not flowing through us. It's not life-giving per se to us, as it were, in to the extent or degree that it could be or should be. Certainly for me, one of the things that really, really helped was worship songs, and I'd love for us to do a show on worship, on songs and worship, because I'm probably gonna sound a little bit like a grumpy old man on this one. I'm a little bit of a traditionalist when it concerns this whole God, Jesus, faith, Christianity thing. You know, a little bit of a traditionalist, even though we're in the 21st century. And it's just that recognition that for me, I learned a lot of God's word by the songs that we sang. You know, our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched hand. Doom, doom, doom. Nothing is too difficult for thee. And that's, you know, those are the words of the prophet.
Jeremiah.
You know, and I learned those words by singing those songs. You know, these days we wouldn't say, oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. We say, you know, dear God, you are the powerful one who made the earth, you know, which is, yeah, that's okay. But it doesn't resonate, because when I read scripture, you see what the songwriters used to do then, they would literally lift the text verbatim and turn it into a song. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's just the hearing and hearing. The more you hear something, the more you believe that thing. It's one of the principles. A lot of us do not realize how much biblical principles are at play in the world around us. When the world wants you to believe a narrative, what do? You're a journalist. You've worked in media. You repeat it. You reinforce it. You reinforce it over, and it becomes truth to you. You know, faith comes by, and it's not necessarily faith in Christ, faith full stop, in the right thing, and faith in the wrong thing. It comes by hearing and hearing. And so back then, you know, we would lift the scripture and we would turn it into songs, and those are the songs we sang. Honestly, it is a biblical principle. The children of Israel used to repeat the word of God, and they would repeat it in song. They didn't paraphrase it. They memorized the word of God because they repeated it in song. I'm sorry, like I said, we'll have another show on worship maybe, but we now have a generation of people, several generations of people, who do not know the word of God because we're not repeating it. The word of God is the book we carry. We're not repeat. It's not coming out of our mouths. You know, from the out of the depth of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
If it's not coming out of our mouths, it's not even in our hearts. We're not speaking it. I was very, very intentional a number of years ago in saying, I want to ensure two things. Number one, I want to ensure that my choices, my principles, who I am, how I am, every single one at any point, and I've said this openly, and I'm saying it now, I'm saying it to two of you here in the studio, I'm saying it to all of you listening on the show, and perhaps those of you who might be listening on a playback. I'm saying, if I've made a choice, I've made a decision, there's something I believe in or I do or I say, challenge me. I seek, I endeavor to ensure that I have a biblical text or a biblical principle to undermine my choices, to underpin, sorry, underpin my choices. A biblical text or biblical principle, number one. I don't just do it because, oh, I think it's a good idea. I think, what really would Jesus do? What does scripture say about a choice like this? Can I back this up with scripture? You know, if I was called before a scriptural court, a spiritual court, can this choice stand up to scrutiny against the word of God? Can it stand up to scrutiny of the word of God? Number one. Number two choice I made was, I want to try as much as possible to ensure that my words are seasoned with the text of scripture, with God's word. You know, as we know, we understand the principle. God has said it. We understand the scriptures. We believe it. He said he has raised his word, elevated his word above his own name, above his own identity, above his own reputation are the things he says. And so as such, the best thing, the most powerful thing you can say to God are the things he has already said. Those things that are elevated above his name, above his reputation, above his power, above his authority. His word is number one.
Yeah.
So the best prayers you can pray are his word. You know, rooted and founded and grounded on his word. And so for me, I said, you know what, the best conversations I can have are conversations that include his word. Because as long as I'm continuing to seek to speak his word, there's going to be less of my word in there. There's going to be less of my attitude, less of my phraseology, less of my ... and on and on. Like John said, more of him and less of me. Let me be clear on the theology. Not none of me. And you know some people say, oh Lord, none of me, all of you. No, stop that. That's not what scripture says. Just you know, just calm down. Everybody needs to calm down. So I use the songs. I use the songs just to reinforce that and to reinforce that. And you sing those songs and sing those songs, and then one day somebody will flick it open and you're like, that's the song I was singing. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know, from the Psalms. You know, it's like, wow, that's the word. You know, and it's amazing how much more powerful it is.
Yeah. You know what I love? I mean, I've not seen it here at PHBC, but I'd love to see it here at PHBC in the children's church. In a previous church that I attended, they used to do this exercise with the young children, and they used to get them to display it in the adult church. So they'd have the children there with their children's Bible, and they would call it Draw Your Sword. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Draw Your Sword.
Oh, it's so fun for the children. So you'd give them a scripture, and you'd say, not the scripture, you'd give them the name, like Colossians 1:3 or something. And they'd have to quickly find it in the Bible. And whoever finds it first reads it. It's a fantastic way of helping children to learn the word.
Okay.
It's such a fun way as well. And, you know, I mean, because like I said, sometimes, you know, adults can be coming to church.
Please.
They come with the heaviest Bible, right?
Bigger than the car.
And, you know, and you know, ask them to find it. They have to go to, and there's nothing wrong in using the contents, you know, the contents page to find. But you want to get to a place where you become familiar with the word, that you kind of know, oh yeah, I know that's in the Old Testament. I know that's in the New Testament.
It's one thing to use the contents page to find the book of, I don't know, Nahum,
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, who knows when Naomi.
Micah.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Naomi, who knows?
Obadiah.
It's like, who? You know, and I get that. But it's another thing when you're using the contents page to find Exodus.
Or Genesis.
Yeah.
You know, Revelation.
Are you kidding me? It's right there. Yeah. You know, it's page 8.
I think, yeah, the key thing is about being familiar, you know, because it's you do have people like Christians, for example, who may know where everything is, but then you don't see them working that out.
Absolutely.
So yes.
That's the other side of that coin.
Yes. Yes. It's almost like this thing where it's like having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You know, so you have that form.
Pharisaic.
You know, you can speak. Yes. You know, there's this phrase where people say you can speak Christianese. Mm-hmm. You know, you know how to say the amens and hallelujahs at the right, you know.
Yeah. Call the blood of Jesus.
You know? And say return to sender.
By fire, by force.
You know, but you don't have. And I remember some years ago being convicted about that, because it's very easy to fall into the thing, especially if you grew up Christian and you were surrounded by Christian, you know, people and influences, and so you may not have that story of, oh, once I was in the world and now I'm in the Lord. You know, you've just always been in the Lord, and so. Yeah. It can get tricky because you know how to fit into certain conversations, and you may not be bearing the necessary fruit of those conversations that you're having. So it's important. The important thing about having the word with you is being familiar.
Wow.
Time has flown.
Hasn't it just?
Oh my goodness. That has gone really, really quickly.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to the last few moments of the show, and this is all we have time for this week.
Okay.
So next week we are going to discuss this topic further.
Yes,
please. So remember to still send your questions, comments in. We would love to read them. And we'd also love to have you join us again next week as we explore this topic even more deeper.
Okay, and if you have any questions, just like Lillian has said, about tonight's topic, or you want information on it, or perhaps you or someone you know could do with some support, please do contact us via the PHBC radio app or even via the PHBC website, and we will seek to help you as best as we can.
Yes, you've been listening to Being Mindful on PHBC radio with
Pastor Deji. Why are we dragging this?
Look at that. I get two people call my name. Woohoo! Double blessing. In fact, Deji means double.
Just, oh, you see.
Deji on its own means double. So,
woohoo! Double, double.
But you've also been listening to PHP, Being Mindful with Noma
and Lillian. Okay, so as always, as we always say at the end of the show, thank you for listening. Remember to be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.